This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Netflix already changed how we watch TV. Now it's making a move that sent a ripple through film lovers everywhere. With a deal to buy Warner Brothers, a studio tied to so many shared memories, people are wondering what this means for cinema, for creativity, and for those moments we still love experiencing together. Well, joining us is Associate Professor Liam Burke from Swinburne University of Technology. Liam, great to chat with you.
Good to speak to you.
When a company like Netflix buys a studio like Warner Brothers, what's the scale of this move in sort of film history terms?
It's massive. It's a deal of this century, at least, in terms of Hollywood studios. So Hollywood studios, there's only a couple of them left. You know, you think of Disney, you think of Paramount. Warner Brothers is one of the most celebrated. Everything from Casablanca to Bugs Bunny to HBO content that we all love, like White Lotus. So they own the whole lot. And now Netflix is coming in to buy the company. And this would put the number four streamer in the world, HBO Max, with the number one streamer in the world, Netflix. And that will change the landscape. You can imagine 10 seasons of Friends appearing on Netflix alongside the latest Batman movie and Harry Potter, and that will change habit audiences for going to movies. It'll change how we watch TV, and it might, if you're a filmmaker, narrow the number of buyers in the world, and it might reduce competition, which is one of the anxieties amongst the creative community.
Now, a lot of people heard this news and immediately thought, that's it, cinema is done. Do you reckon that's an understandable reaction?
I can totally understand where that's coming from. It probably isn't as bad as that, but it's not good. So Netflix have stubbornly refused to embrace cinemas. They will occasionally put some films in cinemas for awards qualifying runs so they can be considered for the Oscars. So something like Frankenstein or Wake Up Dead Man. But Ted Sarandos, who is the CEO of Netflix, has always said their business is at-home experiences. And so the anxiety is, movies that we enjoyed this year, like Warner Brothers movies, like, you know, the Minecraft movie, like Sinners, like Weapons, like One Battle After Another, would not be released in cinemas under this new regime, or at the very least, have very, very, very short exclusive windows in cinemas. And you lose those kind of cultural moments. Barbie, which is a Warner Brothers film from 2 years ago, you lose the Barbenheimer effect if you devalue the cinema-going experience.
Netflix, when we think of it, I mean, it's built its power without buying old studios so far. Why would they want to disrupt that as such if it is working and it's making the money anyway?
That's a really good point. They have mainly tried to build their own brands, Squid Game, Stranger Things. But it is very rare that a 100-year archive that includes everything from Looney Tunes to, you know, Friends would come up for sale. I think with the sole exception of Disney, there is no legacy studio that has this deep vault of archives. So you can imagine for Netflix to bring all that content in, both for the Netflix library, they no longer need to pay for these shows and content because they own them, but also the intellectual property. Any number of Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, you know, Batman movies, they all fall now, would fall, assuming the deal goes forward, under Netflix's remit. So that was an opportunity they were not wanting to give up, although there are lots of other interested parties as well.
Are there any sort of like consumer laws or competition laws over there that would come into effect, or perhaps, you know, this deal would come under the scrutiny of?
Absolutely. So there's Elizabeth Warren, the Democratic senator, has been very outspoken on this issue, as have a number of Republicans. So this is the rare topic that unites Republicans and Democrats in America around antitrust and monopolistic practices. The fear would be if you take, you know, these two big companies together, it removes the capacity for people to sell their screenplays, their, you know, their TV shows, because there's less buyers in the market, but also for consumers, they have massive power. And so they can, you know, skyrocket their streaming service subscription costs, because what are you going to do? You're not going to miss out on a quarter of the world's entertainment. And so that has kind of created a great number of concerns. And so there's a lot of regulatory hurdles this deal will need to pass. before it can kind of be approved and accepted.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Liam Burke from Swinburne University of Technology about Netflix buying Warner Brothers and what it could mean for the future of cinema. Liam, some movies, I mean, they need time to sort of almost grow on you, don't they? Grow an audience in cinemas. What do we lose if we lose that sort of breathing space?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, Batman will be fine. Harry Potter will be okay, because they are proven properties with a built-in recognition and a very loyal fan base. But if you take a film that was very successful this year for Warner Brothers, Sinners, directed by Ryan Coogler, a vampire movie set in the American South, great action adventure, but also, you know, about racial politics. And so, you know, that was a new original property, and it opened modestly in cinemas, but it will, through word of mouth, it sustained very well over a couple of weeks, over a couple of months, and eventually became the highest grossing film at original film at the US box office in 15 years. Now, you know, maybe I'm being cynical, but it's hard to imagine a scenario in which a film like Sinners will get that time to grow in cinemas or even go into production in the first place.
Do you think the fact that younger audiences are wanting more shared experiences, that could save cinema?
I think that's a really good kind of observation, because the assumption is Gen Alpha, which is 15, 14 and younger, that they are digital natives and so they want everything online. But actually new research out of the States from NRG proves actually that's not the case. Like, you and I are old enough to remember that, you know, there is still a novelty when, you know, a big movie drops on Netflix and the convenience of that. But if you've grown up and you've only ever known, you know, Netflix and TikTok and so on, there is no novelty for that. What is novel? What is something you yearn for are in-person experiences. And so cinema is part of that. So we saw this past year, the success of a Minecraft movie with kids throwing popcorn at the screens, the success of the Taylor Swift concert films, the success of K-pop Demon Hunters for a weekend only after it already proven itself as the number one film on Netflix for a sing-along weekend. Young audiences, and to be fair, all audiences, are yearning for that experience. And if cinemas can kind of reassert themselves as this kind of lively communal space, Netflix may roll back, hopefully, and respond to, you know, audience pressure on their longstanding resistance to the movies.
What are the other streaming services? What are they thinking of this merger?
Well, it's interesting. So the big competition on this has come from Skydance Paramount. So Skydance Paramount is owned by a guy called Larry Ellison, who I'm going to say is like the Kendall Roy of the tech companies. His dad, or he's David Ellison. The dad is Larry Ellison. He is the world's richest man whenever, you know, Elon Musk isn't. They kind of share that. And so he owns Oracle, a big tech company. And they, it was assumed that they were going to kind of buy up, after buying Paramount a few months ago, that they were going to buy up Warner Brothers as well and become this kind of behemoth company, and that would kind of increase Paramount Plus. And as I suppose there's an olive branch to the creative community, David Ellison said he released films in cinemas with healthy theatrical windows, so leaving them in cinemas for a long time. I think everyone's kind of, you know, been a bit cynical about that, feeling that like they might say that now to get the deal over the line. But I think there's a great deal of skepticism about whether they'll actually kind of commit to Paramount Plus, to the theatrical experience, if they were successful in their hostile bid to take over Warner Brothers.
Liam, what's your prediction? You know, looking ahead, say 5 or 10 years, do you reckon cinema could shrink, evolve, or find a new kind of strength?
Well, I think there's always a desire for the communal experience. I think the habit audience of going for movies is probably gone. And I think the pandemic was the final nail in that coffin, where people just went every week routinely. But I think people will still go to the movies. So we might see it as more of a sort of a rarefied experience, you know, where casual viewers might only go a couple of times a year for those bigger movies, but they'll go see it on premium formats, IMAX, 4DX, Extreme, Gold Class, and so on. And so those kind of movies will do really well, and they might cost a bit more. I mean, Avatar is dropping in cinemas tonight, and, you know, maybe those kind of tentpole releases, the musicals, the thing, you know, like Wicked and so on, the kind of demand to be seen with an audience in the biggest screen with the best sound, they'll continue. And maybe in kind of slightly more rarefied space, you'll have the art house cinemas that'll have those kind of, you know, lower budget indie foreign films. I do worry and lament the loss of the mid-budget drama, rom-com, comedy, courtroom drama that doesn't seem to get released anymore in cinemas and is now kind of the purview of miniseries on Netflix.
Liam, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Associate Professor Liam Burke from Swinburne University of Technology.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.